See you all here today. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Dear Lord, we love you and we praise you, and we just thank you for this chance to come and worship you in the house of the Lord today. Pray that you would prepare our hearts and mind for this service and just allow it to bless our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Would you stand as we sing hymn number 3, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Welcome. Glad you're here today, part of our 10:30 traditional worship. Thanks to Carson Brown filling in today for Ken. First Baptist Church Russellville is celebrating today their 157th anniversary as a church. Their pastor is our former youth minister, Chase Dowdy. Their music minister is a guy that grew up in this church, Garrett Booth. And used to be the Carson Brown with Ken as our music intern. So they have Ken with them over at First Baptist Church Russellville leading them in worship today. And so Carson Brown, our music intern, is filling in for Ken. And so thankful for Carson. Next Sunday is Carson's last Sunday with us. You'll hear more about that next Sunday. And then he's like all these kids. He's growing up and he's leaving us. And he's going off to UAB to go to college, but so thankful for Carson filling in today. All guests that are here today, on the far right-hand side of your bulletin, open it up, far right-hand side, you see a QR code, hit that with your phone, and it will give you a visitor's card, and you can fill that out for us. We appreciate you doing that. Take a moment, walk around, welcome your friends. Glad you're with us today. Thank you. may be seated. Thank you, Carson. Thank you, Amy, for leading us. About 10 years ago, the Baptist Foundation of Alabama came to First Baptist Gunnersville and talked to us about legacy giving and how we could help as far as our, you know, once we pass on from this life to the next, how we can be a blessing to the body of Christ and leave with First Baptist Church or other ministry opportunities that which the Lord has so blessed us with. And so several of us, Ken and Tammy, Janice and myself, Rick and Pam Booth, and others, we changed our own personal wills to add First Baptist Church to our will when we pass from this life to the next. 25% will go to Ben, 25% will go to Davis, 25% will go to Carson, and 25% will go to First Baptist Church, so that as Janice and I leave this earth, then we want First Baptist Church to continue to use those resources to shine the light of the gospel all throughout our world. So several of us did that. But then, as a church, we just kind of dropped the ball. Several months ago, Nathan Ely from Alabama Baptist Foundation came by and was talking to me. Mike Reeves walked in on that conversation and said, "We need to talk to you." And Nathan became the guy that was the connection for us with the foundation of Alabama to then help us to get started with that. So we set up this Sunday for Nathan to come and kind of share with us what they are, who they are, and how we can, with now that we can have this connection with the Baptist Foundation of Alabama. So Nathan, you come, share with us where we are and what we can do.
Well, it's great to be here this morning. It's great to worship with all your fellow members in the first service, and glad to be here with you in this service as well. I know when you woke up coming to church this morning, you were excited to hear about the end of your earthly life and money and how that all relates together, so you're in luck this morning to have that conversation. It was interesting. I actually was coming to Gunnersville one day to bring my taxes to my accountant and thought, you know, I'll just visit a few churches while I'm in town, and that's when I came to visit with your pastor. And he said to me, "I just got this email," and he'll tell you more about that later. "I just got this email about a future estate gift, and we need to talk to you about how to get this in order." And so it just seems that God has brought us together to do this work together. I've been talking with Brian Harrell a good bit. You're already invested with us now. That's one of the things we do at the Baptist Foundation. We're a part of the state convention, so we're a part of your family. You help fund us as you give to the cooperative program, so we're grateful for that. One thing we do is investment, so we help churches invest their money. We want to help churches use their resources to generate more resources to do more ministry. So a lot of things that a bank would do, money markets and CDs. We also do market funds, so stock market funds, but how we're different is we actually investigate all of those companies to make sure that you're invested in things that promote the gospel, that are doing good things for the world, and not things that would disappoint God that we would be involved in. So that's one way that we help you. You need to know that as you invest with us, we're using that money in a good way to promote good things. We also give away a lot of scholarships. So if you have kids or grandkids going to college, look on our website and apply for scholarships. This year we'll give $750,000 away for kids going to college, especially for those that are looking to go into ministry, and we love to do that. But today our main topic is legacy, meaning helping our people have wills and estate plans. I once talked to a member of a church after a meeting kind of like this, and he said to me, "I don't have to worry about that. When I'm gone, I won't even know what's going on. My kids will just have to deal with it." And I thought, oh man, is that really what we want for our families? Do we want to leave that burden on them? I think one of the greatest gifts you can give your kids and your family is to have a plan in place so they don't have to worry about what you would want or what God has asked you to do, but they will actually know what's in place and it will be all settled. We want to help people get that in place. We want to help you practically and spiritually. Did you know that 70% of Alabamians die without a will? There's no plan in place. So what does that mean? What you don't know is the state has a plan for you. It's already in place. They get to decide, if you have minor kids, where they'll go. They get to decide where your assets go and who gets those. And they'll make sure they get their piece of the pie as well as they pass that along. Things are tied up for a long period of time if there's no plan. And unfortunately, we have seen many families who fall apart because people are arguing about who gets what, and they can't get things together. So it's a great gift to be able to give your family. If you go through the process with us, we don't tell you what you have to do. You don't have to leave any money to us. You don't have to leave money to your church. We just want to give you the options of how you can do things and let you decide prayerfully how to do that. But it's also a spiritual process. As your pastor mentioned, how should I leave money if I'm leaving it to my family? I mentioned in the first service, I have three daughters. They're 12, 10, and 5. If I left money to my 12-year-old, she would save it. She'd be smart about it. If I left money to my 10-year-old, it'd be gone before the week was over. I mean, she'd spend it as fast as she could. So as my wife and I have planned our estate, we've planned it so that our children will get money over time and not in one big chunk. We want to bless them, but not be a burden to them in that way. What if we could help you avoid taxes as well so you can cut out the government and instead give more money to your family and to your kids? There's only three places it can go: people you love, ministries you love, or the government. If you're like me, I don't think you love paying taxes or love how the government spends your money. And so we want to cut that out as best we can legally to make sure the ministries you love and the people you love get that. So how does this all work? I want to tell you two quick stories. One is a woman in Coleman. She had been blessed in her life, had a wealthy family in Birmingham, and moved to Coleman later in life. We helped her think through everything that she had and talked with her about what she wanted to do with that money. We were really blessed as she went on to be with the Lord a couple of years ago. We were blessed to be able to deliver this year a check to the Alabama Baptist Children's Home for over $2 million, and that's just the first check that we'll be able to deliver to them this year. You think of the legacy that she's leaving with what God has blessed her with, to bless foster kids and adoptive kids and single parents who are going through difficult times through that gift that will last for a long time. Now, you may say, that's not me. I don't have that kind of money, and neither do I. So let me tell you another story. Former secretary at a church in Anniston that I'm working with right now. Worked there for over 30 years. As you can imagine, she didn't make a lot of money in her salary in that job, but she was always generous with what she had. She chose, as she went on to be with the Lord earlier this year, to leave a $50,000 investment for her church. And what that means is we manage $50,000 for her and invest it year after year, and every year we send a check to her church to benefit missions. And when I say every year, I mean every year until Jesus comes. Whether that's today or 20 years or 1,000 years from now, every year her church will get a check to benefit missions because of her planning that she put in place. Can't imagine the legacy that that will leave for her church in Anniston. So it's practical. We include your health directives, a living will for you, and power of attorney, and those types of things. But it's also spiritual in the way that you get to bless your family and you get to bless ministries you love for decades and generations to come. And the best part, we think, since we're part of your family, is we do that planning part at no cost to you because we're partners with your church. The only thing that you're required to do is after we do all the plan, you take it to a lawyer you know, or we'll recommend one who will do it for a low fee to get that drafted legally and everything's done. And you can have peace of mind at that point that you've done what God would want you to do, that your family will be taken care of and everything will be in place. Your pastor's done it. Thousands of Alabama Baptists have done it. I've done it as well. So it's a process that you can trust and that you can feel comfortable with. There'll be more to come about this opportunity in the future. We'll have more conversations and invite you to be a part of that. I hope you'll be thinking about it. It's an incredibly important thing to think through. And again, I think it's a great gift you can give your family. And I believe it's what God calls us to do in being stewards of what he's given us, being wise about how we use that, and ultimately to bless those we love and to bless the ministries that we love as well. So thank you for letting me be here with you this morning. If you'll excuse me, I'm going to slip out. I'm going to get back to my church for a deacon's meeting this morning in Center. But thank you so much for the opportunity to share about what the Baptist Foundation does, and thank you for being a part of that.
Thank you so much. As we prepare to receive our offering, our offertory hymn is hymn number 147, How Great Thou Art. We're going to sing the first, third, and fourth verse, and we're going to stand on the last stanza.
be nice to be able to sing. Join me for prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with thankful hearts, just thanking you for all the blessings you've given to each and every one of us. We come this morning just praying for our nation, praying for the world today, and we pray for those this morning in our church that are so struggling right now with health issues. We just pray that you'd be with them and give them the comfort they need to get through these trying times. And as we come to this portion of the service now, when we can give back just a small part of what you've so graciously given to each and every one of us, and we pray that you would use these tithes and offerings to the furtherance of your kingdom. For these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
beside the heroes of the faith, and with one voice, a thousand generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
Thank you so much, choir. Lyndall filling in for Ken, and Carson filling in for Ken, and so much doing today that I so am thankful for that, and thankful for that song that is preparing our hearts and our minds for the Word of God today. So Colossians chapter 3 is our passage of Scripture for today. So we have finished our series on the Apostles' Creed. And I don't know about you, but I loved that series. 10 weeks we spent walking through phrase by phrase in the Apostles' Creed, and that came out of just a simple little word in the office. Karen and Ken and I talking about something, and one of us said something about the Apostles' Creed, and Ken looks at me and says, "There's your next series." I didn't think anything about it, but the Lord just kept pressing it on my heart and my mind. Next thing you know, we've started a summer series on the Apostles' Creed, and I absolutely loved that series. I wouldn't go so far as to say that it's my all-time favorite series, but it certainly ranks up there as one of my all-time favorites. And the reason that I loved that series is because we got to focus our attention on theology and doctrine and church polity. And with all of that theology and doctrine and church polity, we then, every single Sunday, we ended with the gospel. We ended with the light of the gospel. So every single Sunday, we were able to with joy say, look at what God has done with us. Look at what God has done through us. Look at what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. So every Sunday, we would just pound the gospel and talk about who God is and what He is and what He's given us and all we have in Jesus. And now let's go out and shine that light into a world that is dark. And so I loved that series. Well, today we're going to do a two-part little series, today and next Sunday. Colossians chapter 3, we'll start today thinking about our hearts and our minds. But Nathan Ely, from the foundation of Alabama, Baptist Foundation of Alabama, talked to us earlier, as you heard, about legacy. When I die, when you die, are you thinking about heaven? Are you thinking about the gospel? Are you thinking about the good news? What you leave behind, carrying the gospel to a world that is lost? Because the natural default position of all of us as Americans, it's not a bad thing, but our natural default position is that when we die, we're going to leave what we have to our family, to our children, to our those that we love. And the Baptist Foundation of Alabama helped me to realize I don't just have to leave it all to my kids. I can leave most of it to my children, but I can also leave some to First Baptist Church Gunnersville that has been a wonderful connection with me, and leave some of that so that First Baptist Church can continue to carry the gospel to the nations. So we're thinking about that next Sunday. We're going to talk about the gift of generosity. One of the things that we're talking about in the life of our church right now is we're talking about our future. Our Lyndall Glasgow that just led our choir, because Ken's gone, he is the lead of our long-range planning committee, and we've been meeting with architects, and we're kind of praying about and thinking about, where is God guiding, directing First Baptist Church as we think about our future? Our youth ministry has grown so far out of where we have them that we've got to do something. Our children's ministry is second to none in our area. It is as good as it could ever be. Anchored Adventures with Kathy and Sally is absolutely the best preschool in the world, not in the state, not in Gunnersville. It's the best in the world. It's awesome. Our senior adults are growing so fast. Paul was telling me just a few minutes ago, one of the senior adult classes, every seat is taken around the edge, and then there are seats in the middle, and that class is busting out of the door. We've got senior adults up on the second floor. Senior adults need to be down on the first floor. So we got challenges that we've got to face at First Baptist. What a great time to be a part of First Baptist Church and the challenges that are ahead of us. And so we're going to be thinking about, how do we meet all of these challenges that we have? So we're going to have some help from today, at least getting started with that, in Colossians chapter 3. Yesterday, I was in the golf cart with Richard Manley. Now, anytime that you're in a golf cart with Richard Manley, for those of you that don't know Richard Manley, anytime you're in a golf cart with Richard Manley, something profound is going to come out. All right? And so sure enough, Richard looks at me and says, "Hey, what are you preaching on tomorrow? Now that we're done with the Apostles' Creed, what are you preaching on tomorrow?" I said, "Oh, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And he said, "Well, if you'll go ahead and give me just a quick synopsis of it right now, I won't have to come to church." And I said, "All right, so this is real easy. Paul says to the church at Colossae, get your mind right. Get your heart right. Get your mind and your heart focused on heaven and not on the things of this earth." And Richard said, "Oh, that's going to be good, because I know a bunch of people at First Baptist that need to hear that." He said, "I can name names, as a matter of fact. If you want me to start naming names, I can name all kind of names." I said, "Well, I got a feeling, Richard, yours is at the top of that list." Colossians chapter 3. You know, one of the new technologies of the 21st century is drones. Drones are unmanned aerial vehicles. So typically drones are flown by individuals on the ground, And they're wanting to see whatever it is that they're wanting to see from a totally different perspective. So they want to see whatever it is that they're looking at from a top-down perspective. Drones are used for many reasons: military, farming, mapping, search and rescue, shipping, law enforcement, weather tracking, recreation, and many, many, many other uses. So the primary purpose of a drone is for a person on the ground to be able to see whatever it is that they're wanting to see from that top-down perspective, like being in an airplane. You know, we have a lot of people at First Baptist Church that own their own airplane, and they keep them out here at Gunnersville or Albertville Airport. And so you can go up in these airplanes and fly over Gunnersville, or let's say you're flying out of Huntsville or Birmingham, and what you've seen all your life from the ground level, now all of a sudden you see it from the top down, and everything looks totally different. It gives you a totally different perspective from what you've seen in your own mind's eye on the ground. Now, all of a sudden, things look totally different. Well, that's the idea that Paul had in mind when he writes about Jesus' ascension in Colossians 3. So he writes about the new life that we have in Jesus. He tells us, you are free from the rules and the regulations of religion. You're free from that. I preach constantly, so much so that those of you that are a part of First Baptist Church and have been a part of First Baptist Church for a long time, you've heard me say it over and over and over and over again. One of the greatest gifts, not the only gift, but one of the greatest gifts of the gospel is the fact that we are now free from the condemnation of our sin. Joel, because of Jesus, you are free. Live free. And so Paul is telling the church at Colossae, you're free. You're free from the rules and the regulations. And then he says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of this earth. For you've already died to this life, and now your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, then you, the body of Christ, will share in His glory. So Paul is saying to them, now that you have experienced the new birth, set your hearts and your minds on the realities of heaven, not on the things of this earth. Seek out in your life heavenly things where Christ is seated. Where? From the Apostles' Creed, at the right hand of God the Father with all authority. That is one of the reasons why I preach the gospel to myself every single day. I talk to you all the time about preaching the gospel to myself every single day. And one of the reasons why I preach the gospel to myself every day is because I live in a sin-sick world. And so every morning, every afternoon, sometimes 10 times a day, sometimes one time a day, but I am going to make sure that I preach the gospel to myself every single day. Every single day, I'm going to be telling the Lord, Lord, I worship you today and only you. I confess my sin to you, Father, but not only do I confess my sin to you, I confess my need for you. I tell the Lord every day, today, Lord, don't let me leave the farm. When I leave the farm, I'm like the prodigal son. I'll wind up in some pig pen somewhere. Don't let me leave the farm today, Father. I need you every second, every minute today. I'm thankful to you, Father, for the life that you've given me in Christ Jesus. I'm thankful for every eternal life. I'm thankful for all of the gifts that you shower down upon me. I'm humbled that you continue every day to shower these gifts on me. I trust you in everything, and I'm content in you. Every day I preach the gospel to myself. Every night when my head hits the pillow, I preach the gospel to myself every night. When I lay down in my bed and my head hits the pillow, then I start preaching the gospel to myself. And I have this beautiful picture of Joel Samuels, me, resting in the arms of Jesus. And I go to sleep every single night preaching that gospel to myself every single night. Some nights I preach the whole gospel to myself because I'm not very sleepy, and so I'll preach the whole thing. Sometimes I don't get as far as worship, and Janice will say, I know what you're doing. You're preaching the gospel to yourself, and you say, Lord, I worship you today. Next thing you know, I'm snoring. And that's fine. You know why? Because I'm in the arms of Jesus. I'm going to sleep in the arms of the one who loves me so much that he gave his life for me. And one of the reasons why I preach the gospel to myself is so that I can fix my mind and I can fix my heart on heaven rather than the things of this world. Next Sunday, we're going to talk about spiritual gifts, specifically the spiritual gift of generosity. It is impossible to live your spiritual gifts unless you first have a spiritual heart and a spiritual mind. That's why today, spiritual gifts means nothing to the person who is focused on the things of this world. The two philosophies cannot live in the same house. You can't have somebody who's focused only on the things of this world and at the same time wanting to use their spiritual gifts. They do not live together. You cannot enjoy and use the spiritual gift of generosity if your mind and your heart are focused on the things of this world. Why? Because you will do everything in your power to hold on with clenched fists just as tight as you can to hold on the things that you think are yours. This is mine. Unless your mind and your heart is focused somewhere else other than this world, and that is on heaven. Dave Kiesling writes, Paul's writing to the church at Colossae was to counter their tendency to blend the teachings of Christ with Jewish legalism, Greek philosophy, and Oriental mysticism. The pure teachings of Christ were being lost in the storm of the other beliefs and philosophies. In verse 2, Paul was straightforwardly reminding believers that they had some serious choices to make. He said, think about the things of heaven, not the things of this earth. Nothing's changed. 21st century America, like the first century as well. It is so easy for us to get caught up in the philosophies of the day. Eastern mysticism, political climate, bad news around the world, Facebook drama, and on the list goes. Next thing you know, your heart and your mind are filled with the things that are of this earth, the things that are down in the gutter. Someone arguing with you on Facebook or talking about karma as if that's something that even existed. All tied up in knots over the political storm that's coming next. Telling someone that you'll be thinking about them, using the verbiage from our world. I said this to the early worship this morning. If I'm going through something in my life and you know about it as my brother, my sister, and you know that I'm going through something and you want to pray for your pastor, all right? You know that something's going on in my life and I don't want your thoughts. I couldn't care less if you're thinking about me. I don't want your thoughts. I don't want you thinking about me. You know what I want? I want your prayers. I want you to have a heavenly mind and a heavenly heart, not an earthly mind. Oh, my thoughts are with you, Joel. I don't care about your thoughts. I want you to storm the gates of heaven and say, Lord, we know he's nuts, but I'm praying for him anyway. I'm praying for you, Joel, not thinking about you. Kiesling says, what could the command to set my mind imply other than it is a choice of my will to do so? Setting the mind is an act that I must make consciously. I have to fight against the tendency to go along with the priorities of the world around me, to be overwhelmed by the latest bad news. Paul's saying, take control of your mind. Be assertive about deciding in advance what your focus will be on today. The entertainments of the world, the vain philosophies of humanity, even alarming news, headlines of the day can easily overwhelm us. Paul says, fix your mind and your heart on the gospel. Once again, this is why I preach the gospel to myself every single day. I want my mind and my heart to be focused in the right direction. Kiesling says, through the gospel every day of our lives, we pray that the Lord will remove the patterns and philosophies and slavery and death traps of this world. We pray that the Lord and the gospel will take control of our minds and our hearts, and then our priorities will be focused on the gospel rather than the things of this earth. So Paul is writing to the church, the body of Christ, Colossae, in the first century. This word is to the body. My prayer is today that if there's anybody that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior and Lord, if they're watching on Facebook Live, or they're in the sanctuary, early worship, late worship, it doesn't matter. So all week long, my prayer has been, Lord, if there's anybody that doesn't know Jesus as Savior and Lord, that hears this word proclaimed today, the gospel, the good news, then my prayer is for them that they will be able to, from a bird's eye view, they will be able to look down into the Word and being pulled and led by the Holy Spirit, they will be able to say to themselves, you know what, that's what I want. I want that. I'm tired of all of the empty, vain philosophies of the world that only leave me in misery. I want Jesus. And for those of us who know Jesus as Savior and Lord, my prayer all week has been that we would hear this powerful word of encouragement. Church, set your mind and your heart on the things of heaven and not the things of this earth. Release your mind and your heart from the things of the world and join in with the heart and mind of heaven. It is impossible for us to think about generosity, stewardship, when our mind and our heart are focused on the things of this earth. Lord, release us to heaven. Father, thank you for a good word today, a powerful word to the church in the first century. And I'm thankful for that word today. One of the things that we need to know, Father, even though we didn't have a lot of time to talk about it this morning, is that I still live here. I still live in this earth. And all of the vain and empty philosophies of this world, I still live here. So I need help, Lord. I need the power of the Holy Spirit to guard and to guide my mind and my heart and my thoughts, my ways, my actions, my attitudes that are geared toward heaven and not this earth. I desperately need you. In all things today, Father, our prayer is that we would know you better, love you more, our faith is stronger, and our love for the gospel in Jesus is brighter. In Jesus we pray. Amen. The invitation that we're going to sing is, I have decided to follow Jesus. If you've never trusted Christ, trust him today. I'll be here at the front to receive you and pray with you. If you need to come and pray, join our church. Whatever the Lord puts on your heart to do, just simply be obedient to that and follow through as we stand and as we sing.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided.
Be seated real quickly. We've got Fall is starting, and so we got a lot of stuff that's going on. What's the first thing that we got, Will? Kids in Action. So our children's ministry will start back Wednesday night, August the 21st at 6 p.m. So keep that in mind, all right? Our senior adults, Tuesday, salad and ice cream social. Sign up on the old Lord's Supper table. Already got a big group coming for that. Paul is starting this Wednesday night a grief support group. See Paul if you would like to be a part of that group. That's going to be really good. All right. We've also got on Wednesday night, September the 4th, that will be the night that we start back our suppers. So keep that in mind. If you're already on the Wednesday night supper list, you're good. Just keep it there. If you want to add your name and be a part of Wednesday night suppers, contact the church. Karen will make sure that you are put on that list, and we'll be kind of sending you some emails about that in the next couple of days. So that will start Wednesday night, September the 4th. Also, Whitney Maston is starting a women's group called the Well-Watered Woman on September the 4th. Contact Whitney for that information. She has a sign up on the Old Lord's Supper table as well. Next Sunday, Rosalie Hunt, Bells and Tales, Stories of Amazing Missions Moments. So this is Rosalie's latest book. She will be in front of the library next Sunday morning to sign, and you can purchase these books. Of course, as you always know, with Rosalie, all the proceeds will go to missions, and so that will be next Sunday. She'll be out there signing books for us as we participate in that. Also, Saturday, we have our men's ministry golf outing. Two team, it's going to be a scramble with two member teams. If you please sign up for that. You don't have to have a team. You can just sign up, show up out there, and Elliot and Michael and Brian will pair you with someone. And so we're going to have a lot of fun. We need to know by Tuesday about how many we've got. We've got 20 or more signed up right now. We need to know about how many we're going to have so that when they feed us hamburgers and hot dogs. So it's going to be a fun day. A lot of fun this coming Saturday, August 17, 8 a.m. is when we're going to start. It will be a great time. If you don't know how to sign up, see Elliot or see Brian Harrell or Michael Brown or call the church office, and we'll make sure you get signed up to be a part of that fun. What a fun day. $50 per person, all that will go to our men's ministry. So we look forward to that. All right, let's all stand and close by singing the doxology.
Praise God from